Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, November 9th, 2016. The new president of the United States is Donald Trump. What is the reaction from Africa?
Not only is it that she's a woman, she's a competent woman. And the fact that millions, well, 48% of Americans believe that she's not the better person for the job, it scares me.
And residents of Juba join the rest of the world in expressing their happiness and sadness.
Actually, I'm very, very disappointed about American election, Hillary Clinton, because she did not win the election. I'm very disappointed. I don't know, maybe because the men in America looked at her as a woman or...
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Republican Donald Trump has been elected the next president of the United States. As the surprise results of the U.S. elections were announced earlier today, VOA journalists in cities around Africa headed out to get reaction on the street, including the good, the bad, and the uncertain. From Nairobi, VOA's Jill Craig reports.
Like in the United States, feelings about President-elect Donald Trump's election win are mixed in Africa. In Kenya, where President Obama has familial roots, many were hoping that Hillary Clinton could carry on his legacy.
I think it was expected because I don't think America was ready for a female president just yet. We were really hoping that Clinton would win, but it was expected for Trump to win.
This social activist in Ghana says she would have loved to have seen the first female U.S. president.
Not only is it that she's a woman, she's a competent woman. And the fact that millions, well, 48% of Americans believe that she's not the better person for the job, it scares me.
Charles Aboun, an international relations expert in Cameroon, says that Trump's victory shows that people can get it wrong.
Donald Trump's victory is a simple translation that you can have 40 or 50 years of experience, but you need what they call useful experience instead of useless experience. Because if you look at the caliber of a lady who was in front of him in the election and all those who backed her, it was another translation that majority is not always right.
Some, like Francis Kwame in Ivory Coast, are worried about how Trump's victory might affect Africa directly.
Ça va peut-être freiner l'immigration de peut-être sans doute des pays africains.
He says it might slow down immigration, probably from African countries toward the U.S. It is going to make it more difficult. Really, I'm not happy that he won. Nigerian Remy Panak is also concerned about Trump's rhetoric.
What was he saying during his speech when he was campaigning? He said he's going to take all Muslims and all blacks out of USA. And it's very, like, obvious that he's a racist. And then if he takes Muslims out, if he sends all the black people out of the country, then things will just not go well.
But in South Africa, where student protests brought universities to a halt in the past several months, at least one student says he's got other things to worry about.
Trump does not affect my life. If Trump can come here and fix the fees that are falling in my country, then I will support him. If as long as he's not doing anything that will affect me as an African boy, I don't care about Trump.
A Congolese newspaper reported the news as simply the Trump surprise, while a popular Senegalese website displayed a photo of Trump with a headline playing on the president-elect's last name and the French verb se tromper, to make a mistake. But an administrative worker in Dakar tries to remain optimistic about America's choice of president. He says, I am a little disappointed because I supported Hillary Clinton, but I see that the people of the U.S. have chosen their president. Donald Trump is not bad. The essential is that the people are a little unhappy to hear this, but maybe there will be change. Keith Bainan-Robe was active in Uganda's opposition during his country's presidential elections earlier this year. He says he is excited because he believes Trump will stand up to Africa's dictators.
Joyous. I jumped off my feet in celebration. I was so joyous, and I'm still, I don't know, it's unbelievable. I'm sure the economy will be better than it is right now. And I trust him because he's a businessman. He's going to change everything. And but the main point is he's going to help us change this regime that we're tired of.
And Stanley, a history teacher in Kinshasa who preferred not to give his last name, says that regardless of winner, the American election cycle sets a good example for other countries.
Il y a deux leçons que je tire, moi en tant que Congolais, en tant qu'Africain.
He says the lessons which I draw as a Congolese citizen, as an African, is that it's a handover of power, clean and clear, without problem. Mrs. Clinton has even called Trump to congratulate him. African leaders and politicians in Kenya, South Africa, Uganda, Tanzania, Burundi, DRC, and Somalia, to name a few, have already sent or tweeted messages to Trump, congratulating him on his victory. Malik Obama, President Obama's half-brother, has also congratulated Trump. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
South Sudan's government says it welcomes the choice of the American people in the U.S. presidential election. South Sudan Deputy Information Minister says Juba will cooperate with the Donald Trump administration when the New York businessman is sworn as the 45th U.S. president in January. Waki Simon Wudu has this report for VOA from Juba.
Deputy Information Minister Akol Paul Kordit says South Sudan welcomes the results of the U.S. presidential election.
Whatever democratic decision made by people of America, we as a government welcome and respect that. Though the United States of America is a global power and American domestic politics have also impact on global politics, and this is something normal for a big country, we do welcome the decision of people of America, like other nations of the world that have done the same. And that remains purely to be an internal issue within the United States of America.
Cordit says while South Sudan has enjoyed good relations with the Obama administration, he says Juba looks forward to improving its bilateral relations with Washington come January. The U.S. government also poured more than $1 billion into South Sudan to provide humanitarian assistance and fund development projects since the outbreak of conflict in late 2013. The Obama administration has played a key role in the current peace process in South Sudan. Together with the United Kingdom and Norway, known as the South Sudan Troika, the U.S. helped fund the peace talks that led to the signing of last year's peace agreement between President Salva Kiir and his former deputy, Riek Machar. Cordit says Juba hopes the Trump administration will provide more humanitarian assistance to South Sudan in order to alleviate the suffering of millions of South Sudanese.
It is time now that we expect also United States to continue its development support to the Republic of South Sudan and to increase it to meet the challenges of the transition. You know, the cantonment of forces is very expensive and we need financial support, economic support. The training of the forces is an expensive process. The reconstruction of war-destroyed towns need resources. The resettlement of our refugees who are outside South Sudan and the internally displaced people will require enormous resources.
And Cordit says the training of forces is expensive, as is the reconstruction of towns destroyed in the nearly three-year-long conflict. SPLM-IO leader Riek Machar issued a statement today congratulating Donald Trump, adding that the SPLM-IO hopes the new administration would have a fresh look at the situation in South Sudan and deal with it fairly, saying, "My people are yearning for peace." For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
South Sudanese in Juba are reacting to the election of Donald Trump as America's 45th president. South Sudan in Focus reporter Michael Atit spoke to residents on the streets of Juba about their expectations, fear and disappointments.
My name is Veronica Lucy. It was very unfortunate for us women that Hillary Clinton came in a time that we expect her to be the president. But then because of the opportunities that is there, we also put in hope that there might be opportunities for South Sudan.
I'm by the name Skorang Abraham Malak. I was surprised to see Donald Trump winning. Donald Trump has never been a commissioner, has never been a senator, he has never been an MP. He has just been a businessman. And you know, managing people is different with managing business. So hence I see this is not the right place for him.
Yeah, my name is Winfred Patrick. I'm in Juba. Yeah. We women, we are really not all that happy with the Trump, because he showed in his talk that he's not even putting women into consideration. In all these days, we are not really... If he can change his word, it will be good. But if he's going with this thing, I don't think things will be fine. I had that fear. That's why I'm saying he's insulting women, and we are mothers. Without we, he's not there. We are the one who deliver him, ourselves. He's supposed to respect us.
My name is Vivian Mushiri in Juba. I expected Trump to win, weirdly. This is because despite of his moral, despite of his approach in the campaign, some of his campaign policy were holding a bit of weight.
I'm Steven Robo in Juba. Yeah, as a South Sudanese, I'm looking at Trump that we are not going to benefit much from him, because he has less experience on the situation of South Sudan. His priorities is not for South Sudan. Therefore, I'm not really so much interested in Donald Trump really to be assuming the post.
My name is Mary Justo Tombe. I'm in Juba. Actually, I'm very, very disappointed about this American election, Hillary Clinton, because she did not win the election. I'm very disappointed. I don't know, maybe because...
Those were some of the voices of South Sudanese commenting on the U.S. elections of the Republican Donald Trump as the next U.S. president. Now we go live to New York for Hillary Clinton's concession speech.
Democracy enshrines the peaceful transfer of power.
And we don't just respect that, we cherish it. It also enshrines other things: the rule of law, the principle that we are all equal in rights and dignity, freedom of worship and expression. We respect and cherish these values too, and we must.
That was Hillary Clinton giving her concession speech following Donald Trump's victory. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, another deadly ambush on Juba Torit Road, this time involving a football team. We'll have the details on that story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what foreign language would you like to be fluent in, and why?
French. It sounds really interesting anytime I listen to it, and it seems to me as one of the languages that is gaining international ground.
I'd like to be fluent in Arabic because I'm Muslim, and I'd love to be fluent in Spanish. I just love it. Because I love salsa, and I'd love to understand the music. Though I like it, I would love to understand.
The foreign language I want to be fluent in is English, because English is an international language. It's been spoken all over the world now. It is used in offices almost everywhere, even though we are in school, because of English and Arabic.
I'd like to be fluent in German because I have ambitions and hopes of visiting Germany, staying there and making it my home. So I would like to be very fluent in it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. One person was killed and six others were wounded when unknown gunmen ambushed and fired shots at a convoy of four vehicles transporting a Torit football team and fans returning to Torit from Juba yesterday. The wounded included a driver, a football official, and four players who are being treated at Torit Civil Hospital. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Torit.
Football fans, players, and relatives of the victims crowded into Torit Civil Hospital today to see the survivors of last evening's attack. Eyewitnesses say more than 20 people were in a convoy that left Juba for Torit around noon yesterday and were later ambushed in a village called Lolere, approximately 15 kilometers from Torit town. James Jordan, one of the wounded players, was shot in the head, but fortunately his wound is not life-threatening. He describes what happened.
Before the ambush, there was a guy who made a warning for that. Somebody just have looted him. Some rebels looted him on the road. Please be careful on that. So, but police, I think they ignore that. They say, no. Maybe this boy is fearing or what, let's go. So due to the poor tactic from police, so we managed to fall on the ambush. Then actually, the first bullet was fired. I think this boy was fired. The first bullet touched a person, this boy, on the back. Then the second bullet fired the other guy who passed away. By the name called Kimis, sent the third, I think, to have been firing our car. The driver was called Osiru. So from that place, we managed to escape. We just opened the door, all of us escaped, and we ran down. We use our footing as we go. Then after that, I think these people get chance for firing us, really, and the police, some of them escaped, and only two of them were just helping us.
Patrick L. Mann, another player, says none of the people traveling in the convoy saw the attackers.
The escort say, let her defense, then we are going to see what we are. Unfortunately, within less than 5 minutes, we heard a gunshot. We don't know who are those people exactly. Because it's a night around 7:30, we don't see any dressing or any single person. We just a bullet only we heard.
Anthony Formato is a chairperson of Imotong Estates Football Association. He also sustained gunshot wound to the head, but the injury is not life-threatening. Speaking in Arabic, Formato says there were no valuable items in the four vehicles worth looting.
We only have football uniforms and other sporting attires. Since we are going for games, we don't have any valuable that they can loot. So the police who were with us did not give them chance to loot anything from the car.
The Torit Police Chief Inspector Major Jeremiah Fadiri says the police managed to rescue most of the players after a shootout with the gunmen that lasted about 15 minutes.
In fact, we have a team came yesterday after finishing their mission. They came back to Torit, and on the way, tutorial in Lalere, they felt in an ambush of armed criminals. One driver was killed to death, and six with the light injuries. And then our force managed to defend all the cars and chased all the criminals scattered in the bush.
The Motong State Information Minister Jusbin Akulang visited the wounded at Torit Civil Hospital this morning. She expressed her sympathy to the relatives of the members' football team and fans.
On behalf of the government of Imotong State, we would really like to send our sincere condolence to the families of some of the players that were returning back from the South Sudan Cup finals from Juba, returning back to the state and fell into an ambush.
Kulang says there were five victims, but the police and eyewitnesses say six people were wounded. Unknown gunmen have carried out several attacks along the Juba Torit Road over the past few months. The youngsters lost 3-0 against Wau's Al Salam during the South Sudan National League finals on Sunday. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
The UN World Food Program says hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese refugees may experience more reduction in food rations unless the UN agency receives millions of dollars in additional funding to fill gaps in its budget. Simon Peter Apiku has more for VOA from the Ugandan capital, Kampala.
The WFP says the huge influx of refugees from South Sudan after fighting broke out in July between the South Sudan Army and troops loyal to former First Vice President Riek Machar created gaps in its budget. WFP Deputy Country Director for Uganda, Cheryl Harrison, says the WFP provided food assistance to about 380,000 people in January, but by August, the WFP was assisting more than 600,000 people.
We have had some generous contributions from a number of government donors since then, but the contributions have not kept pace with the rate of people coming across the border.
UNHCR said recently that between 2,000 to 3,000 refugees from South Sudan continue to arrive in Uganda each day. Harrison says if Uganda continues to receive South Sudanese refugees at that pace, the WFP will be forced to further reduce or possibly even suspend food rations, except for individuals or families considered extremely vulnerable.
Now we find ourselves in a situation where we are likely to need to make additional cuts, deeper cuts, shall we say.
Harrison says the situation may change if WFP receives more funding.
The reality is we're facing extreme resource shortfalls.
Harrison says she worries about the long-term implications of reduced food rations for South Sudanese refugees.
The type of ration reductions that we have had since August, households can bear those for a few months, but if you keep them for too long of a period of time, people start having to engage in negative coping strategies. Some of those negative coping strategies, some of the most common ones, include pulling their children out of school, reducing the number of meals that they eat during the day, participating in high-risk behavior in order to be able to get some cash to be able to buy food.
Harrison says her agency needs an estimated $60 million for the next 6 months to enable WFP to assist the growing number of refugees in Uganda. The WFP currently assists more than 700,000 refugees from South Sudan, Sudan, the DRC, Rwanda, and Burundi. For VOA News, I am Simon Peter Apiku in Kampala, Uganda.
Health officials in refugee settlements in Uganda have embarked on a circumcision drive aimed at combating the spread of HIV/AIDS and other sexual transmitted diseases among refugees. Mungome Debsra Karinj visited a circumcision center in Uganda's Adjumani district and has this report for VOA from Kampala.
Anybody who is willing, a male under 5 years above, should come to Pagirinya Help Us.
Pagirinya Health Center community mobilizer Said Innocent Torogo uses a megaphone to encourage all male refugees over age 5 to come to the health clinic for a voluntary circumcision. Torogo says he spends his days explaining the benefits of having a circumcision to refugee communities.
Some are saying that circumcision is not good. If you circumcise, which means you change your religion, people are saying circumcision, it was brought by the white people, so they don't want.
Others worry that circumcision will affect their sexual performance, according to Torogo. 30-year-old John Lotigo says he learned from Torogo that circumcision is a health medical procedure.
I heard it will prevent you from maybe getting some other disease, and it will make you to be clean. So I feel I should have also to do it. That's why I also joined the team.
The father of two says he always wanted to get circumcised, but feared it would be extremely painful. A day after he was circumcised, Lotigo says it wasn't as painful as he imagined. Robert Kenyi, who is a refugee, says since he was a small child, he feared being circumcised. He says a while back, he suffered from a sexually transmitted disease.
When some people are circumcised, I'm even there, I get worried, I run away. So now, after I get my married, at the time when I get married, I just get this kind of disease, syphilis. I meet the syphilis, that one take me a long time. I was injected 10 cc of that of injection, and then up to now, I'm now okay.
Today, Kenyi says he's determined to undergo circumcision because he now understands its advantages. He has also brought along his 6-year-old son, Gordon, to be circumcised.
So as at this point, I'm giving the local anesthetic. Don't touch, don't touch, don't touch. Put your hands behind your head.
Dr. Julius Businje works with the Medical Teams International, an NGO that provides health services to refugees in Adjumani. He says the entire procedure takes about 15 minutes.
There are some people who take time. They fail to retract the prepuce, so they cannot clean themselves properly. Two is it reduces transmission of HIV infection to over 60%. Therefore, he who is circumcised is fair protected compared to the uncircumcised.
Dr. Businje says people residing in refugee camps are at risk of contracting sexual transmitted diseases, including HIV/AIDS. He says the prevalence of HIV/AIDS for refugees has doubled from 0.8% to more than 1.6% in the past few months. He says more than 1,000 refugees have been circumcised since the drive started 1 month ago. He says at least 5,000 refugees will be circumcised before the end of this year. Dr. Businje encourages all males to be circumcised. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Ruakarinj in Adjumani District, Uganda.
That report by Mungume Davis Rakaring brings us to the end of our news for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Marina by Sam Mapangala. Listening to Sam Mapangala with the song Marina. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thank you for making us part of your evening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.